Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing Your Reward Awaits You. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for our deliverance from sin and for our restoration and wholeness in our physical bodies. Father, I thank you for his broken body, making it possible for us to be made well now. Father, I thank you for his shed blood, making it possible for us to be free from sin now. Father, I thank you for us being able to stand boldly in your presence because you have made us righteous through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, God. Father, I thank you for you having given us the desire to make your Son, Jesus Christ, our master so that we could be your sons and your children and stand boldly before your throne and enter into your grace and enter into your mercy so that we can distribute your grace and mercy to others, God. Father, I thank you for you having given us your word so that we have very clear and specific instruction as to how we can best please you, how we can best serve you, how we can best trust you, and how we can best please you, Father. I thank you for you putting us in a place of favor, God. I thank you for your purpose, power, and praise being ours tonight, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to be a blessing to someone else today. Father, I thank you for you dealing with us in such a way that the power that comes from you flows through us and gets glory that comes right back to you because people know that your hand is real because they experience it through us, God. Father, I thank you for your love just flowing and overflowing through our hearts, God, so that others are impacted and their lives are changed. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Now, that was I Believe by Sounds of Blackness, and I really did think I was going to be listening to Shifting the Atmosphere by Jason Nelson, but you know what? God had another plan, and that was so appropriate because if we believe, then we're excited about tonight's teaching. Tonight's teaching has to do with our reward being on its way. And what this has to do with is the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming back. And so those of us who are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ know that Jesus Christ is coming with his reward in his hand, with our reward in his hand. And that's something we should be excited about. For those of us who've been doing what God has called us to do, for those of us who have made his son Jesus Christ our master, look at what it says here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. I want to look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 11 to 13. What it says is, let the unrighteous continue to be unrighteous, and the vile continue to be vile. Let the righteous continue to practice righteousness, and the holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, to give to each one according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and he is basically stating a spiritual truth, a spiritual truth that we all need to hold on to. Because, see, so many people are trying to turn the world into the church and the church into the world, and they don't quite understand that the world is going to be the world. And the question is not whether the world is going to be the world, but the question really is whether the church is going to be the church, because the world can't help but be what it is. When you see injustice, when you see death, sickness, disease, plight, when you see a lack of concern for the well-being of the old, the young, the poor, the widows, the fatherless, the orphans, the foreigners, when you see those whom God is concerned about being exploited and abused and killed and molested and imprisoned and just oppressed and placed in bondage and used to make unjust profit for others. See, God is not overlooking all of that nonsense. That's what the world is about. That's what the world always has been about. That's what the world is going to do. So Jesus Christ says, let the unrighteous continue to be unrighteous, and let the vile continue to be vile. Let the righteous continue to practice righteousness, and the holy continue to be holy. See, Jesus Christ is calling for you to be who you are. And it's so fascinating because there are those who are one thing, but they desire to be something other than what they are. The reality is that God has called some to be his children before the foundation of the earth, and he has called those that he knows are going to submit to his son Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their master. And the people who he knows in his foreknowledge, because only God has foreknowledge, he knows who is going to submit to his son Jesus Christ as their master, and he knows who's going to reject his son Jesus Christ as their master. And because he knows this, those whose heart said yes and bow down to his son Jesus Christ in life and turned away from serving sin and were water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and believed to speak in tongues, and believed to prophesy, and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ was their Lord, their master, and believed in their heart that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for their sin, to die for their sin, and raised him from the dead, and called upon the name of Jesus Christ for their salvation. God knew who was going to do that and who was not going to do that. And so, because, see, God is all-knowing. And when we believe, as the song said earlier tonight, I believe. When we believe, we're excited about our reward being on its way. Look at what it says in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 22, after it talks about the unrighteous being unrighteous and the vile being vile and the righteous continuing to practice righteousness and the holy continuing to be holy. Verse 12, Jesus Christ says, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. His reward is with him to give to each one according to what he's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ is saying, hey, I'm coming soon, and I'm coming with my reward in my hand to give each one according to what he's done. Now, see, if you haven't done anything for God, you're not excited about that, because what reward do you have, right? Even worse, if you have been acting against God's will, there's a reward for you, all right? But see, actually, in heaven, it's fascinating, because there are going to be three types of people in heaven. There are going to be three types of people in eternity. Now, I'm not talking about sinners now. I'm talking about the children of God. And those three types of people who are going to be in heaven are people with no reward. And these are going to be those who did nothing for the kingdom. They're going to be those with a partial reward. And those are going to be those who did their thing their way sometimes, and God's thing, God's way sometimes. And then there are going to be those with a full reward. And those with a full reward are going to be those who did God's thing, God's way, all the time. And see, you committing to be faithful to God, to serve God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, God knows what you're going to do before you do it. And you have to embrace the fullness of who you are, so that as you practice righteousness, as the right, you've been made to be the righteousness of God through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. So practicing righteousness is an intentional thing. It's something that we do. See, and let the holy continue to be holy. See, holiness is what you do. It's what you are. It's who you are. Let the holy continue to be holy. And then it says, let the unrighteous continue to be unrighteous and the vile continue to be vile. See, there are things that the unrighteous practice. There are things that the vile practice that we don't even want to speak of, because, see, that's just getting that's getting glory for the devil. We are focused on practicing righteousness and allowing the righteousness of God to be what we seek after. See, God promises in his word that not only will he meet all of our need, he'll give us everything they're chasing for and dying for and killing themselves for in the world, if we seek first his kingdom. And then as we seek his righteousness, we are promised that the things that the world chases after and clamors for, he's just going to give us. And see, that's a powerful promise to stand upon, because God is serious about that. But you have to seek the righteousness of God. You have to seek the kingdom of God. That has to be important to you. That has to be on your agenda of most important things to get done. And that's serious business. See, when we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, then you can rest assured that we are serving God, we're pleasing God, we're trusting God, we're obeying God. We're doing what God requires us to do intentionally. And in doing so, we are practicing righteousness. We are being holy. And what we can look forward to when Jesus Christ returns is his reward for all that we have done. Because, see, there are things that we must do. Do not ever let somebody tell you that just because you're saved, there is nothing for you to do. As a matter of fact, the reason why we are saved, the reason we have the fullness of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us, is so that we can do the things that God is requiring us to do. And see, God is so serious about making sure we're able to get the job done. He placed unlimited power within us. The unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us is there so that anything God gives us to do can get done. And God is serious about getting his will fulfilled and completed through us. God is serious about getting heaven's power available to the world through us. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 because God is saying something serious to us. See, there are those who sound very religious. They sound very pious when they say, I'm not concerned about my reward. I just want to get into heaven. Well, you know what? That doesn't sound like what we heard Jesus Christ just say in Revelation 22. What Jesus Christ just said in Revelation 22 is, let the unrighteous continue to be unrighteous. Let the vile continue to be vile. Let the righteous continue to practice righteousness and the holy continue to be holy. And he said, behold, I am coming soon and my reward is with me. See, he said that intentionally. He said that for a reason. He said he's coming soon and his reward is coming with him to give to each one according to what he's done. See, you're going to receive your reward according to what you've done. And so not only is your reward important to God, but what you've done is important to God because God is determined from the beginning of time that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him. God has determined that he will dwell with his people and his people will dwell with him. Everything that the devil does is to the end of separating God from his people. And so those who reject God's son, Jesus Christ, are coming into agreement with the devil and separating themselves from God. And so those of us who want to fulfill God's will, not only are we making God's son, Jesus Christ, our master and Lord, but we are sharing the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ, with others so that they can make Jesus Christ, the Son of God, their master and come into relationship with God as their heavenly Father right now. And they can receive the promise as well. So that's us seeking the kingdom of God. And when we seek the righteousness of God as well, we are receiving all of the blessings from God that he has for us to live a more than abundant life. First, spiritually, through the power of his Holy Spirit. Then, mentally, as we renew our mind to the Word of God and replace what we think, what we feel, what we understand, what we believe with what the Word of God says. Then, emotionally, with how we react to what happens in our life and as we learn to stand on the word of God, as we learn to rejoice in the good things as well as the bad things, understanding that the bad things in life are just God's way of getting us more patience, more experience, and more hope because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, and we learn to grow stronger and stronger and stronger each day because our assignments from God are going to increase in magnitude as we walk with God. And so we're going to have to learn to bear more and do more and accomplish more for the kingdom of God and to develop the righteousness of God within our life by being righteous. And so we're going to learn to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life as we grow emotionally, because the fruit of the Spirit is what truly does develop us as individuals. And it is the result of the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit within you that produces love, that produces joy, that produces gentleness, that produces meekness, that produces kindness, that produces faithfulness, that produces patience, that produces self-control, so that you are producing love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control in your life. And it sets you apart from those who do not have the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. And it makes it known to others what the difference is between you and them and what's available to them if they make Jesus Christ their Lord and their Savior, and they make Jesus Christ their master as we have made Jesus Christ our master. And it shows them that there is hope. We are no longer to be in bondage to this flesh. We are no longer to be in bondage and subject to the limitations of this world and its chaotic ways. We are no longer to be without hope. See, our hope is in the return of God's Son, Jesus Christ, because he said he is coming and his reward is with him in his hand. And we have to be excited about that. We have to be looking forward to that. Now, this is one of the things that I want to share with you that we're going to read about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's speaking about, in these first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, sectarianism. It's speaking about how sectarianism is carnal. And what is sectarianism? Well, sectarianism is chopping the body of Christ up into a whole bunch of pieces and saying that some are Baptist and some are Methodist and some are apostolic and some are Pentecostal and some are whatever they want to call themselves, right? And sectarianism is carnal. So look at what it says here in verse 1 to 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And there's a reason we're going to speak about this. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal people, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" See, the divisions that we are overtaken with now in the modern church are not new. It is the same type of carnal Christianity that they were experiencing back then, at this time that Paul is writing about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he says, "I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as babes in Christ." He had to speak with the people of God as if they were babes in Christ, as if they were newly saved, as carnal Christians who just came in contact with Jesus Christ. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. You were not able to receive solid food. You were not able to receive spiritual truth. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Well, what made them carnal, right? Look at what makes them carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal in behaving like mere men? See, it is envy and strife and division that is contrary to the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. And in the church, there's no place for envy, strife, and division. As a matter of fact, where these things come from is pleasing people, serving money, leaning to your own understanding, and operating out of your own natural strengths, talents, and abilities. These things define what is known as carnal Christianity. And it looks righteous. It's well-organized, well-decorated, well-promoted, well-funded, well-organized. Looks good. It's carnal. It is to impress your senses. It is to make you impressed. But they're simply carnal and behaving like mere men. For one says, I am of Paul. And another says, I am of Apollos. And another says, I am apostolic. And another says, I am Pentecostal. And another says, I am Baptist. And another says, I am Catholic. And another says, I am Presbyterian. And none of these things are going to get you one of these rewards that Jesus Christ is bringing with him. See, the rewards that Jesus Christ is bringing with him is for what you do for God, not what you do for money, not what you do for people, not what you do for your own pride, and not what you do operating out of your own natural talents and strengths and abilities. So look at what God is looking for. God is looking for you to please him, not people. God is looking for you to serve him and not money. God is looking for you to trust him and not yourself. God is looking for you to obey him and operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit and not obey yourself and operate out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. There's nothing wrong with being strong, talented, or able. What's wrong is that your own natural abilities are limited. The power of the Holy Spirit within you is unlimited power, and you will operate out of that power to the degree that you believe to operate out of that power. So when people tell you that you can't do certain things that God has told you specifically in his word you can do, they're not telling you the truth, because God already placed the power within you to do all that he's given you to do. The question is, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? And you have to get to the point in your life where you say what the song we listened to earlier said, yes, I believe. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that God placed within me. And to understand that the Holy Spirit itself, what is referred to in the Greek as pneumahagion, it's actually in the Greek, it says Spirit Holy. It's referring to the Holy Spirit within you. That is the gift. That is what we received when we made Jesus Christ Lord of our life, when we repented and turned away from serving sin, when we were water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, when we believed to speak in tongues, when we believed to prophesy, when we confessed with our mouth that Jesus Christ was the Lord of our life, when we believed in our heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, when we confessed with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit in us. In manifestation, we received unlimited power at that time. That is the gift. Now, that one gift has manifestations. That one gift has operations. And the manifestations and operations of that one gift, that Holy Spirit that we all have, are going to be operated in our life to the extent that we believe. And you can only believe what you know. So if you have not spent time studying God's word, then chances are that your ability to believe what God has made available to you is limited to what you know of God's word. And that's why God tells you that he magnified his word above his name, and he needs you to study his word so that you can show yourself approved before him as a workman of the word that needeth not be ashamed, as you rightly divide his word of truth. See, rightly dividing the word is the result of you studying the word of God. You have to make yourself available to the word so that the word becomes available to you, and you do not have to be subject to the nonsense that the world would have you to believe to tell you what you can and cannot do through the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. God placed his Holy Spirit within you as the gift for you, making his son Jesus Christ your master and Lord. Now, you have to believe to operate the power of that gift within you. The power of that gift has 9 manifestations, 9 operations, 9 ways that that gift is made manifest in the world for the purpose of producing signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. The Bible says those who believe will perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. And so the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit's been placed within you so that you can believe to perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. So the first of those operations or manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit within you are speaking in tongues with interpretation and prophecy. And so when we are doing that, we are building up our inner man. We're strengthening our spiritual being. We are connecting our soul with our spirit. And see, our spirit and our flesh war against one another for the attention of our soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Our soul is what is being fought over by our flesh and our spirit. So when we are in that place where we are submitting to the purposes of God in our life, then we are allowing our spirit to draw the attention of our mind, will, and emotions, to draw the attention of our soul. And as we believe what God's word says, then we intentionally operate that unlimited power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we believe to speak in tongues. We believe to speak in tongues and interpret. We believe to prophesy. And then we believe to receive words of knowledge from God. See, God is the only being in the universe that is all-knowing. And so anything we need to know is available to us when we need to know it. And God will get us what we need to know when we need to know it through word of knowledge. That is one of the operations of the Holy Spirit within us. Then there is word of wisdom, which is what to do with what we now know. And God will give you access to unlimited wisdom and knowledge about what to do in situations where you cannot otherwise know by your 5 senses alone. That's why you need the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within you, so that God can tell you what you need to know and what you need to do. And then, because our battle is spiritual and not carnal, we are to be able to receive discerning of spirit so that we understand the spirit that we are combating when we find ourselves in opposition to something opposing the purposes of God in our life. The purposes of God in our life will not be undone. The purposes of God in our life will not be hindered. The power of God in our life will not be stopped when we believe. Unbelief stops the flow and operation of the power of God in your life. And that's why you need to be studying God's word so that you can stand on the fullness of that promise, because you're only going to do what you believe to do. You are limited by what you do for God only by what you believe, because the power of the Holy Spirit within you is unlimited. I'll give you a perfect example. The perfect example is our cell phone. Many of us have a cell phone, and Many of us use our cell phone for speaking to other people. Some of us use it to check our email. Some of us use it for Facebook and to be entertained. And some of us understand that you can use your phone to translate languages and speak to other people. Some of us understand that you can use your phone to photograph images of vegetation and plants in order to discover the names and what type of plant you're dealing with and whether it's poisonous or whether it's beneficial to your health or whatever. See, our phones are more powerful than we realize. And yet, everybody has a cell phone. But how many people have used their cell phone to identify the species of plants in their yard, to identify what plants are poisonous and what plants are actually good for you and how to use those plants, right? How to use those herbs, what herbs can heal you, right? How many people have used your phone to communicate with someone who speaks a different language than you, knowing that, yeah, you could buy a translator, but you could also just use your phone. And sometimes we just don't understand what's in our hand. And I remember when God told Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to tell him to let my people go. And Moses asked God, hey, why is he going to believe me? And then God said, what's in your hand? Oh, your staff. He said, take your staff and throw it on the ground. And he took his staff and he threw it on the ground and it turned into a serpent. And he said, do that for him. And of course he said, pick it up by its tail. And he picked it up by its tail. And then the serpent turned into a staff again. And then God said, do that for Pharaoh and he'll believe you, right? Well, what's fascinating here is not about what looks like a magic trick or parlor trick or something like that. But what's powerful about the example with Moses was that you were seeing the power of God in operation. Let Moses understand this is a spiritual battle and not a physical battle that was relying on his political position. It was relying on the fact that God is all-powerful, God is all-knowing, God is present everywhere, and nothing can come against God. And God was about to really show off, and he's going to use Pharaoh to show off to the whole world so that the world would fear him because of what he did on behalf of his people who were enslaved for over 400 years. And so he sends Moses to do this thing, and Moses confronts Pharaoh and says, let my people go, and throws a staff on the ground that turns into a serpent, and Pharaoh calls his magicians in, and they threw their staffs on the ground, and their staffs turned into snakes also. I'm sure that Moses wasn't prepared for that, and he wondered to himself, what kind of situation has God put me in? But then God caused Moses' snake to swallow up the snakes of Pharaoh's magicians, rather. And when Moses' snake swallowed Pharaoh's magician snakes, when Moses picked his snake up, it became his staff again. It was larger than it was before. And the staff back then represented authority. It represented your place as a ruler in the spiritual dominion, right? The magicians, the soothsayers, right? And so as a man of God, he stripped them of their power because they dared come against the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit that was with Moses. See, it's one thing for the world to have access to spiritual power. They do have access to spiritual power through devil spirits. That's how it works, right? But we have access to unlimited power through the Holy Spirit. The free gift of the Holy Spirit is yours when you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Master by doing what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, doing what it says in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 7, and doing what it says in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13. And when you do these things and you make Jesus Christ your master and Lord, then you receive that unlimited power. Now, in order to understand how to believe, to operate that power in your life, you have to study God's word so that you can get to the point where you are prepared, you are able, you are ready to operate unlimited power in your life. But God knows what you'll do and what you will not do. God knows what you will believe and what you will not believe. So look at what it said. It said that you're behaving like mere men. See, we are supernatural beings with the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we have to stand on that. We have to remain in that place of power, promise, praise, and purpose, and not let ourselves be discounted by unbelief. Not our own belief, unbelief, and not the unbelief of others. See, God knows what you're going to believe to do. Look at what it says. When we are watering, when we are working, when we are warning others to not be carnal, to not be religious and sectarian and saying, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. See, that's just pride. And you know what pride gets us? Absolutely nothing. You get no reward for being prideful. As a matter of fact, pride is a very good way to end up in that group of people who are going to be in eternity with no reward. And you don't want to be one of those people. See, there are going to be three types of people in heaven. People with no reward, people with a partial reward, and people with a full reward. We want to be among those with a full reward. And it's going to be for those who did God's things God's way, right? All the time. Partial reward would be for those who did God's things God's way some of the time and God's things their way other times. And normally, those are people who are trying to have their cake and eat it too. They want to be able to please people and please God. And God says, hey, you know what? You got to choose. I'm not taking half. I'm not on sale. I'm not a discounted God. I'm all powerful. I'm all knowing. I'm present everywhere. I am the only living God. And you will bow down to me. You will serve me. You will please me. You will trust me. You will obey me. And see, when we submit to God's authority in that way, then the blessings of God are ours. God says, seek first his kingdom and seek first his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us, right? So why are we behaving like mere men? Why are we discounting ourselves? Why are we entering into envy and strife and divisions and being carnal and behaving like we're just people, like everybody else? No, we're not. We're sons of the Most High. We are children of God. We are able to go boldly before the throne, and they are not. So as we water, as we work, as we warn, look at what it says in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, it's God who gives the increase. It's God who makes our ministries relevant. So it's God who gets the glory, not us. I hope you never say my name and you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, your master and Lord, the one who gives you access to the throne of God through his blood, and access to physical wholeness now through his broken body. My name can't do that for you. And nobody else's name except Jesus Christ can do that for you either. So what you need to know is that Jesus Christ has made something great available to you, and it's God, his Father, that gives the increase. Look at what it says in verse 7. So then, neither is he who plants anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So he's literally saying, and this is Paul, he's saying, look, I'm nothing, Apollos is nothing, but God who gives the increase, only he matters, only he counts. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. See, we're united in our purpose. We're both reconciling the world back to God through planting and watering and working and warning, right? And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, right? So Apollos will receive his reward for watering. Paul will receive his reward for planting. But God is the one who gets the glory for the increase. See, these people, these souls that we win, many are of whom are in our congregations, they're not ours. Those are God's people. And God can send them wherever he wishes. God can do with him whatever he wishes to do with him. It's not about allegiance to any one individual, any one organization. It's about allegiance to God. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation of Jesus Christ with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. So only the work that is built on the foundation of Christ that would be considered to be gold, silver, and precious stones will remain. The work of wood, hay, and straw will be consumed by the fire, and it would be as if you had just been saved on the day of Christ's return. Look at what it says on verse 15. It says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire, right? So think about this. All the stuff you did, pleasing people, serving money, leaning to your own understanding, and operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and ability as a carnal Christian, spent your whole life looking like you were serving God, pleasing God, trusting God, and obeying God, and instead you were serving money, pleasing people, leaning to your own understanding, and operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. You had a form of godliness, but you denied the power thereof, and you said, good enough is good enough. And yet, at this time when your work is said and it passes through the fire, it's consumed because you discover that pleasing people, serving money, leaning to your own understanding, and operating out of your own limited strength, talent, and ability is wood, hay, and straw. And you built that on the foundation of Christ. And so it's going to be consumed. That work is going to be burned. You will suffer loss. And you will be in eternity as one with no reward, right? But you'll be saved as though through fire, right? Then those who build in gold, silver, and precious stones on the foundation of Jesus Christ are those who please God and not people, those who serve God and not money, those who trust God and not themselves, not their own understanding, those who are not wise in their own eyes. And then those who obey God and operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit without discounting that Holy Spirit power within you. See, when God gives you something to do, it's not for you to say, I can't do it, because he placed unlimited power within you to get the job done. Your job is to say, I believe, yes, I'm available, yes, I'm going to go, yes, I'm going to get this done in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you go and you do, and you will receive your reward for going and doing. Look at what it says in verse 16. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Spirit of God dwells in you. You are the temple of God. You are the church. You are the ecclesia. You were the one who's called out for the specific purpose of reconciling the world back to God. Don't sell yourself short. Don't let anybody tell you what you can't do through the power of the Holy Spirit. God had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for that power to be placed within you. Understand that the gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift. And what you believe to operate is going to be beneficial to you. That is the blessing to you. That is connected to your reward. That does limit what you can and cannot do, your unbelief or your belief in the nature of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within you. It says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Which temple you are, right? So remember what it said in Revelation 22? 11, it said, let the holy be holy still, right? Let the righteous be righteous still. And so we want to be in that place and know that we are the temple of God and know that God dwells in us. And see, what God dwells in, anything that sets itself against the power of God, God must bow down, must yield, must get out of the way. If God gave you something to do, there's nothing the devil can do that can stop that. You have to stand on the promise that was given to you. So now, I want you to really, really think about what you've heard tonight. I want you to decide to be blessed. I want you to decide to be excited about your reward that is in the hand of Christ that he is bringing with him when he returns. I want you to look at this last passage of scripture that I'm going to share with you tonight. And it's located in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. What it says is, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So the crown of righteousness is to all of those who love his appearing. And we love the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are looking forward to his appearing. It is our hope. It is our joy. It is what we are seeking after. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for you blessing someone mightily with what they've heard. I thank you for you giving them a desire to change the way that they think, change the way that they live, change the way that they believe, change the way that they study your word, change the way that they pray, change the way that they fast, change the way that they do their good deeds for you, change the way that they give, and change the way that they live. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, with your host, Lester Carver, and be ye transformed.
I can really thank him for. When I was moving fast, he had to slow my roll. Out of in control, next episode. Now look here, see when you think about when everybody counts you out. See, he the only one that probably really helps you out. I'm talking from experience, you hearing this? Sunshine on the grind, take me through the storm. Seems like he tested me again, but on the flip side, it's like he's blessing me again.